expected Jesus, 176.
Father, we do wait for your return, and we thank you for all you've done for us. And Father, as we come to before you right now, we pray that our hearts will be open and clear to hear your word, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks for being here today, and we appreciate very much the children's message. We talked a little bit about that same prophecy from last week. It is a refresher. Just to be reminded, we explored Isaiah chapter 9 last week, and as we looked into the Christmas prophecy, we discovered that God's prophecy was not just simply for the children of Israel. It really, we recognize today, that it has been opened up for all people, not just to the children of Israel. And we also realize that God's prophecy is truly an offer. Through the birth of Christ, God offers us four things that we talked about last week. One was hope, another was joy. He also offers us deliverance, and he offers us a Savior that is born. Christmas prophecy provides God's invitation to offer us something that we cannot obtain on our own. We can't earn it. We can't create it. Without accepting God's offer, the world will be in gloom and in distress and feel hopeless, as we saw in Isaiah 9, verse 1. And that reminded me of my favorite Christmas movie, which is It's a Wonderful Life. Remember that? We talked about George Bailey last week and how he was kind of despondent and gloomy and depressed, and he was in despair and gloom, and he lost his direction. He was struggling. And just like the Israelites, who were also in gloom and had lost their hope, they also received that hope of God's prophecy. It was made clear to them to give them a joy that's based on a relationship, not on the circumstances of our lives. And because we know that if we based our joy simply on the circumstances of our life, if though things are going great in our world, we're going to be happy. But if things are going so bad, we'll be down. And that's not the way God intends for us as his children to be. He wants us to remain constantly joyful because our joy is based on a relationship that despite circumstances around us will always remain pure and true. We have to cast off the gloom of our lives like the George Bailey life that he had lived. In the movie, God was moved to action because there was prayers that had come up from George's family and his friends. And then he heard those prayers, and that kind of moves us into what we're going to talk about today. Because there was another character in It's a Wonderful Life, a guy by the name of Clarence Oddbody. Remember that? For those of you who are into It's a Wonderful Life, Angel Second Class is how he described himself, right? And so he came, and he was there for a purpose. Clarence was there to to be able to share and help George get back and finding his direction to life. Of course, we know that Clarence was trying to earn his wings, but that's a fictitious story because we know that angels are actually God's created. They're not human beings that earned to become angels. They're actually separate created beings. So we know that that part of the movie is not true. But what is true is this, that God does send messengers to us. In fact, that's what we're going to be focusing today as we look at Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. And if you can open your Bibles to Luke chapter 1, starting with verse 26. And when you have that, if you stand to your feet so we can read it together in honor of God and His word of truth. Let us start with verse 26 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Now, how will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left. Father, we thank you and praise you for your holy and precious word. Father, as we begin to look and explore this passage, Lord, you have words of truth that we need to hear. But not just to be hearers of your word, we need to understand them, Lord. And not just to hear and understand, but also to put them into our practice, Lord. You, Father, have true messages that will bring us freedom that is unknown to this world without Jesus, Lord. We thank you for your decision, Lord, to share this hope of salvation for all of mankind. And Lord, as we see the message, how it was sent, and what the message was, Lord, we are so thankful for the deliverance that you provide. Lord, bless us now as we look into your word. In the name of Christ, I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Well, if you are familiar with the Bible structure, you know that the Malachi is the last passage, last book of the Old Testament. And from Prophet Malachi to the gospel messages, there was a period of about 400 years that took place, and that's called the intertestamental period, okay? And that's not a whole lot of important stuff that you need to know other than this. You know, there people were living their lives and still doing things and living on their own. Not the Israelites were simply not following God's directions at all times, and they were struggling. Life was troublesome. Now, this intertestamental period of time of God's silence doesn't mean that God was not actively involved in lives. It meant that he had not brought prophets to be sharing the important messages that he had, as he had been doing all the way up until the time of Malachi. So now we see the silence period has ended, and now God is unveiling himself in ways that people have been anticipating for a long time. Hundreds of years prior to the birth of Jesus, Isaiah had prophesied, Daniel had prophesied. There are a number of prophecies that we see. Even in Psalm, you'll see a prophecy of this incredible feat of the Messiah to be born. And now for them at this moment in time, that's coming into fruition. So God's silence has been broken in a great way. In fact, he had a message to share with the people. And that's what we're going to explore today, the message. So the first point of look, and you can follow in your bulletins and that you have right there, and the first fill in your blank is this: Gabriel, the messenger. In verse 26, it says, "In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." See, God had sent this angel, and his name was Gabriel. An angel, if you look at it, what is an angel? An angel is a messenger of God. It's a created being by God, but he's a messenger. A lot is also learned in a name. What is the word in the name of Gabriel? What does it really mean? Well, it simply means this. God is great. In another translation, it's also interpreted as God is my strength. So God is great. God is my strength. So that name of Gabriel is a sense of strength about who God is. So just in the name of Gabriel the angel, there's a message even within that. So the message of God is sometimes confusing, sometimes startling, and sometimes frightening. It was for Mary, but I suspect that when God begins to reveal himself to you, the truth is probably the same for us as well. Because sometimes we just don't anticipate God to reveal himself like he always does. But when he does, it's always a powerful experience for us because inside we know the truth. So, but God's message is always great and it's always powerful, no matter how surprising it might be to us. And another thing about God's message, not only is it great and powerful, but it is always, always true. So God sent Gabriel to provide a message. But before the message was presented, God provided some reassurance and even encouragement through Gabriel to the recipient of this message, who happens to be Mary, the mother of Jesus. And what is Gabriel says? It says, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." It's a beautiful statement that we see here. Even before the message is delivered, there is a preparation for the message to be delivered. And so he's preparing Mary's heart to be receptive. So, you know, as we hear about these few words, "you are highly favored, you know, and God is with you," that is absolutely reassuring. And so God wants you and me as his children to know how important that we are to him as well. And he always wants to give us some soothing comfort when he wants to share and deliver his message. Now, this heavenly being standing before Mary gave great comfort by sharing the truth of God. Friends, God's truth should always be comforting to those who are faithful. You know, if Mary was not a faithful person to the Lord, she probably would have been absolutely terrified and nothing would have stopped her from that. But because of her faith and trust in the Lord and through the assurances that God's messenger was able to provide for her, she opened up her heart to be receptive to hearing God's word. God's truth should always be comforting. God recognized how Mary had lived her life in her faith, and God's heart was impressed and very appreciative of her way of life and how she lived her life and how she lived to honor God in her life. Then Gabriel told Mary what we all like to hear and be reminded of. And sometimes when we're living in life, whenever things aren't going always the right way, sometimes we forget this critically important truth. But boy, it's brought out in this passage between Gabriel and Mary, and it's important for us to be reminded of that. And what is it that I'm talking about? God is with you. Sometimes we feel alone. Sometimes we feel like there's so many things caving down on us that we are so overwhelmed and so all alone that nothing good could ever happen. But that's not the case. Because when you're a child of God, when you belong to God, God is always with you. And that's a beautiful, important reassurance. The Christmas message had to be delivered. It had to have a messenger. Gabriel was that messenger. The fact that God sent Gabriel is proof that God cares for mankind. God had a message of deliverance, and he wanted to make sure that Mary, who was this very special chosen lady, was fully aware of God's plan. So God sent a handpicked angel to make sure his message was sent and it was understood. See, God is a perfect communicator, unlike most of us around this congregation, because sometimes I may have good intentions about being a communicator, but sometimes it doesn't come out that well. But God is the inventor of communications. He's an exceptional communicator. He had a message, and he had a handpicked angel, a messenger who would explicitly say exactly what God needed him to say in Gabriel. So he had the message. He sent a messenger by a reliable source to share this important message. And that message was delivered. It was received, it was acknowledged, and it would soon be put into action. And we know it today as the birth of Christ, God's prophecies fulfilled, and we see everything that he'd said come into fruition, just as like he had said in this moment between Gabriel sharing this message with Mary. Friends, when God has a message, he will always ensure that we know his will and his plan. You know, sometimes I spoke with lots of people, and they struggle with that. Sometimes they say, I don't know if it's really God. I don't know if it's God speaking. How does God speak to us? And, you know, what we go back is, we have to do is go back to the basics. You need to spend time in your relationship with the Lord. You need to pray with him. Because prayer is not just an activity. It's not just something we do. Prayer is a relationship that allows our heart to be molded into what God needs us to be. It's an opportunity for God to be able to move our heart from the world closer to him. And as we begin to do that through the power and relationship of prayer, God is able to begin to communicate, because he will then give us this motivation of getting to his word, reading God's word, and understanding his truth, and having a desire, a burning desire within our heart, to make God's word of truth something that how we live our life. And so as we begin to do that, God begins to clearly reveal himself to us, and we understand when he's speaking and his direction. Even whenever it gets complicated, even when it gets convoluted, God is still there. We just got to pray for the filters to be removed and that we'll be able to hear clearly from him. See, Gabriel was the messenger, and he had a message. But what was God's message? And that's our next point, which is God's message. In verse 28, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his word and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." That is the message that God had given to Gabriel to share with Mary. But as we look at this message, really, I believe that there are a breakdown of three particular points that we see within this message. The first one is this, that Mary was special. Mary was special. In verse 28, it says, the angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." So God's messenger came with a message from God himself and said, God recognizes you, Mary, as highly favored. So Mary was special. That's part of the message that Gabriel's sharing. Then he goes on to share this. He says, there must be no fear when following the Lord. Verse 29 and 30, Mary was greatly troubled at his words. She was overwhelmed at hearing this and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Then there's a third part of this same message. And what is that? That the Holy One was going to be born. Verses 31 through 33. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you who are called, you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. See, God's message is clear. It did reveal that Mary was favored by God. So today, we, and sometimes as Southern Baptists, we sometimes don't want to acknowledge Mary at all, but that's not the truth. You know, God says she's highly favored. We should not think less of Mary than what God expects us to think. However, we must not elevate Mary to a level that she ought not to be elevated. Mary was a precious young lady who loved the Lord and who was faithful to the Lord. She also was of the lineage of David, and all these factors came together with prophecies that have foretold such, to be able to be the chosen one to carry the Son of God. See, Mary is not to be worshipped, nor are angels to be worshipped. But we must be thankful for Mary's life and her faith that God would see her worthy to carry the Son of God in her womb. The message given also addresses fear. Mary was set back when the angel appeared to her when she began to hear that message. But God used Gabriel to share an important message. And that message was, don't be afraid. God, when God reveals himself, He reveals himself, his purpose, and his ways, according to Henry Blackaby. And when he does that, we have to take heart and be strong when God does those revelations. Fear will make us run away from God. But faith, this faith of this young girl here, her faith made her run to the Lord. So while fear makes us run away from God, faith will help us run to him. Mary was a woman of faith and soon accepted God's message. And the major thrust of that message, what was it? Well, Jesus, who is the Son of the Most High, would be born. That's a message that Gabriel brought. And what a powerful, important message it is. A ruler of rulers, a king of kings, through a baby born through a virgin. Well, that's an impossibility. It's impossible for a woman who's never been with a man to have a child. But nothing's impossible with God. See, what a message. A message created and put into practice by God and God alone. And with that message comes God's assurance. And that leads us to our third and final point this morning. God's assurance. Let's look at verse 35. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be with me to be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. See, Mary was being honest. And you know, when we get overwhelmed in our life, we need to follow Mary's example. We need to be honest. We got to quit trying to fix things ourselves or quit lying to ourselves and saying it's not really in existence. We need to be honest and tell God how we really feel. In her understandings and ours, she knew she couldn't have a baby. She had never been intimate with a man. So it was an impossibility for her to be able to be with child. But then God gave his assurance. "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." That's pretty overwhelming in and of itself. See, nothing in history, before, after, or in the future, has ever occurred like this. You know, this is a once-in-a-life world experience situation here. God did this. Gabriel gave Mary God's spoken word. And then what happened? It was so. There's no greater assurance than when God speaks. Whatever God says will be. It doesn't matter if man says it's impossible. When God speaks, he gives us his assurance. How many burdens do we put on ourselves because we refuse to take God at his word? How many times do we make a miserable situation even far worse because we will not trust God as he's told us in his word? And instead, we try to shoulder that burden ourselves and try to fix it ourselves just to make a bigger mess. Friends, verse 37 is unbelievably powerful. It says this, "For no word from God will ever fail." You know, sometimes there's days that we really believe that. And then there's some days as if we live our life as if that's not a truth. But let me tell you, God's word is always true. No word from God will ever fail. What more assurance from God do you need than that? See, God's word is truth. God's word is powerful, and God's word will never fail. So do you know that truth? Do you accept it with all your being? How many times do we kind of accept God's word and kind of not? See, it doesn't work that way. God's word is absolute truth. God's word will never fail. Since it's so reliable, we don't have to trust in our own abilities and our understanding. We don't have to trust in material things like money and things and anything else. See, God's word is enough. God's word is enough. God's word said that the Holy One Jesus, the Son of God, would be born as a Savior to the world. And he was. And he gives us his assurance of his truth and power by giving us his word. The message and word of God is that he has provided us a Savior. Do you know the assurance and peace of our Savior, Jesus Christ? You see, sometimes we forget that all the words of his in his scriptures are true. And it's not just the prophecies of the Lord that's true. So if God's word doesn't fail with that, what else doesn't fail? Well, you know, when we're having a tough time, Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Do you trust God at his word? You know, sometimes we get overwhelmed with our things going on at work or at home or wherever we might be, and we just get overwhelmed. But sometimes we forget that we can take God at his word. That's the message of God. His word is truth. His word is absolute. And his word will always be. I'm going to ask right now, if you just stand with me and bow your head, close your eyes. I'm going to ask the musicians to come as they play softly. Let me ask you a couple of things. No one looking around. Let me ask you these few questions as we prepare for this closing time. See, we all know and recognize that Christmas time is incredibly special. I appreciate the beautiful, beautiful decorations that we see throughout this church. Appreciate the Majors family, and because they love the Lord, they want to take care of his church. And it's beautiful and it's special. It reminds us of this message that we just heard. But what is really special is to understand that God has a message for each one of us. God sent the messenger Gabriel to share God's message to provide us the assurance of a Savior. Let me ask you this. Have you received this message? Have you accepted his message? So you don't have to be afraid. God spoke to that as well. You simply need to accept. Won't you receive his message today that God has sent a Savior for your life and for the entire world? Can I have a word of prayer? And perhaps this morning you need to make a decision. Perhaps today you've never accepted Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your authority of your life. And if not, maybe today you can accept the Christmas message as a truth from him. Perhaps you have done that. You know that once Jesus Christ becomes the absolute authority, that you need to follow and do what he's commanded you to do. And one of the first things he says is, go therefore and make disciples, so come into the fold of Christ, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Perhaps you've never followed believers' baptism, and you need to do that. Maybe you need to join our church, or perhaps there's a burden on your heart that is just overwhelming, and you just can't get it off your heart. Well, stand right where you are, or you can come in front and kneel down at the altar and pray and give that burden over to the Lord. No reason to leave today with any type of burden that's overwhelming for your heart. Remember, God's word will never fail. Father, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you for the power of your message. Thank you for the messenger that was sent. Thank you for the message, Lord, that was sent. And thank you, Lord, for all that you have done to provide to us the Savior and who we worship and thank. Lord, we love you and we thank you. Thank you for all those who are here. Lord, if there's anyone here today that needs to make any type of a decision, Lord, give us the courage to step forward today and to accept it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. We're going to sing page number
436.
You need to make a decision. You come right now as we sing.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and
so much for being in God's house. I'm going to ask if Aaron will come up. He's going to share a few announcements. And as he closes in prayer, I also want to invite you, spend 2 minutes before you leave church, going across the aisles and introducing yourself to someone you don't know if you haven't done that already, or just saying hi to the people that you haven't said hi to for a little bit. Just 2 minutes. That's all. Your roast won't burn by that time. So.
Well, so go ahead and have a seat for a second. Choir practice tonight at 5? Okay. Don't forget that. Still not too late to come, is it? Okay. Got a whole week to get it in. Men's Bible study tomorrow night at 6:45 here at the church. Wednesday, don't forget that, our normal events and services, supper at 5:30, and some sort of activity for everybody starting at 6:15, 6:30, similar adults, all ages, so come be part of that. Special business meeting will be held Sunday night, December 9th, to present the church budget. So as many people here for that, would be great. Friday the 7th is preparation for the Christmas parade, working on the float. And then Saturday morning at 10 a.m. will be the Russellville Christmas parade. It'll be there, so come be a part of that. Christmas cantata that we're practicing for tonight will be next Sunday the 9th at 10:30. A little caveat there. Apparently somebody's expecting to be a grandma in the near future. So should that happen to occur, watch for announcements. It will be postponed to the next Sunday, I believe. And so just, you know, keep your eyes and ears open in case something should happen, so you'll be able to know. Children's Christmas program is the 16th at 6:30 p.m., and they'll have snacks and everything afterwards. Come be a part of that. Candlelight service Christmas Eve at 8 p.m. here at the church. That's always a special time. That we saw the video for earlier. Poinsettias for our church will be purchased soon. See Pat or Shirley today. This is the deadline. If you want to contribute money toward the poinsettias in memory of a loved one that has passed on, see them for that. Don't forget our church family members that are away from home this time of year, whether they're in the military, college, whatever their situation may be. There is a list of those names and addresses on the bulletin board. If you want to send them a card, I'm sure they would appreciate it. And as always, if there's anything you didn't quite catch, see our website. It's on the board. You can catch everything on Facebook usually too. Also, if you know of anybody that is not able to be here on Sunday mornings that want to participate, they can see the service entirely on Facebook Live. So just give them that information and they can experience that. So anything else I've missed? Dwayne. Next two Sundays, love offering will be taken for Brother Alan and Brother Alex for their Christmas gift. So come be willing to contribute to that. Dave? No. Budget meeting. If anybody's a budget committee member, please meet with Dave in the office real quick right after church. Anything else? All right, let's stand and be dismissed. Father God, we just thank you again for all that you do for us, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to come in your house today. And Lord, we just thank you for the message you've given us. Father, thank you for all the opportunities we have this season to be able to spread your word and to experience the gift that's your son that you give for us, Lord. We just pray that you would help us each one to always remember the true meaning of the season. Help us to always share your love and your witness through all aspects of it. Father, just be with us as we leave now and keep us in your care. In Jesus' name, amen.